oral questions by members.
Member for Prince George Wailmount.
The NDP have created a free-for-all with open drug use. Shockingly, even within our public hospitals. A leaked memo providing direction to nurses blatantly states, and I quote, "With decriminalization, patients can use substances while they are in their hospital rooms," end quote. The entire memo is outrageous. Under this NDP government, illicit drug use, and yes, even drug trafficking in hospitals, are not just tolerated, but they are endorsed. So when will the Premier put the safety of nurses and other patients first and end his dangerous decriminalization experiment?
Minister of Health.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker, and there are a number of elements to the question. I know that my colleague, the Minister of Mental Health and Addictions, will be addressing it as well on supplementary. I think, Honourable Speaker, the priority of addressing the safety of healthcare workers, of doctors and nurses, of health sciences professionals in all of our healthcare institutions is a singular priority of all of us. It's critical to ensuring that we have nurses and we have nurses in place and we recruit and we retain nurses. It is important to ensure their safety. It's why we listened to nurses and to healthcare workers and to health sciences professionals and doctors in changing the security model in acute care hospitals more than a year ago. There were questions raised about this as to whether we would meet our targets. We said we'd hire 320 relational security officers across 26 acute care hospitals, and we, in fact, met those targets in exactly the time we said we'd do that. We worked with our nurses. These were recommendations from our community of healthcare workers, and we're going to continue to take all the actions required to ensure that healthcare workers are safe in our healthcare institutions.
Member for Prince George Wailmount, supplemental.
Well, the members opposite might think about their clapping when they start listening to nurses. What nurses are saying in British Columbia is that drug use is allowed, permitted, and endorsed by this minister and this government in hospital beds in public hospitals. That's what the memo says. So the minister can talk all he wants about security guards. They're not using them. People are using drugs in hospitals. Courageous nurses are coming forward all across British Columbia with alarming accounts of daily encounters with meth, cocaine, and fentanyl use in our hospitals. Chaos and harm have been unleashed by this government with reports of meth being smoked in a unit just hours after the birth of a newborn baby. That's what nurses are saying, and that's what's going on in hospitals under this minister's watch. How many more nurses have to be put at risk and infants exposed to illicit hard drugs in our hospitals before the Premier puts an end to this reckless decriminalization experiment?
Minister of Mental Health and Addictions.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. And I want to take the opportunity in responding to the member's question to thank all of the healthcare workers on the front lines who are working across our entire healthcare system, who are in fact leading our response to the toxic drug crisis, a crisis which took the lives of 2,539 British Columbians last year. A crisis which all parties in this House met and deliberated over and agreed to a number of strategies and recommendations in order to address.
Members, it's okay. Minister will continue.
All members of this House agreed to a suite of measures upon hearing from British Columbians, including healthcare workers, advocates, public health workers, hearing from our communities about the need to come together to take measures
members,
to keep our members safe.
Members, let's listen to the answer, please.
I will say that with respect to decriminalization, which was supported by every single party in this House, with the exception of the Conservatives, who weren't at the table at the time, but all of the members all of the members in this House, in a unique moment, came together to agree to this measure. Every single member of this House agreed to the recommendations of the Standing Committee on Health.
And I'm members, Minister, Minister, hold it. Members, members, there can be more questions asked after this. You can correct the minister if you so desire, please. Let's listen to the answer now. Minister.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. What we do know is that ending this particular tool, which is one tool of many that we are using in this unprecedented crisis that we are experiencing, ending this program won't save a single life, not a single life in this province. And that is our...
Continue.
The work that we are doing across our healthcare system to protect people in our communities, to try to end the scourge that is impacting so many members of our communities, is work that we need to continue to do with our healthcare system, with our partners, and we need to ensure that that work is done appropriately. And I will say, with respect to decriminalization, that it was never intended to be it was never intended. And the objective of that program is not to promote unfettered public drug use, which is why our government has taken measures to ensure that that program is delivered appropriately. Honourable Speaker, we're going to continue to do the work to stand up for the 2,539 British Columbians who died last year from the toxic drug crisis. That's the work that we need to be doing.
Members, members, let's have another question, please. Member? Member for City South.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. You know, maybe we should allow crystal meth smoking in the minister's office, and then she could experience what healthcare workers are facing in their workplace every single day. Sure. Mr. Speaker, it is a slap in the face to nurses to hear this government deny the reality of what is happening under their watch. Nurses are so exposed to drug smoke that they have to visit the emergency room, and many fear for their safety because of the weapons that are now permitted. This is confirmed in the leaked memo. Confirmed in the leaked memo. For staff, for all the incredulous glares, you will see this, but this is confirmed in the memo. And I quote, even if there is a knife or something considered as a weapon, it is not to be removed. So how many nurses, Mr. Speaker, have to get stabbed before this premier will end his reckless experiment?
Members? Members will come to order now, please. Minister hasn't even started yet. Shh. Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. I think everybody who works in the healthcare system, who visits the public hospital, knows it is absolutely unacceptable for people, for people to have weapons in public hospitals. Unacceptable, Honourable Speaker. That, Honourable Speaker, we need to take, and we do, on a regular basis. I have visited in the last few months 31 public hospitals, and every one of them I've met with nurses, and every one of them we've addressed issues of code whites and of security for nurses, for health sciences professionals, for healthcare workers. In every one of them, we work together to ensure that people are safer in our public hospitals and in other healthcare facilities. There are challenges in society, but the people who work in the front lines of healthcare have played, in my view, a heroic role. They deserve our support on every occasion, and they will always have it.
Sorry, so supplemental.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. Seeing the Health Authority memo, it's clear to me that perhaps either this minister is complicit or incompetent. Because health care for those who use drugs should never compromise the safety and well-being of nurses and other patients. We've heard about a nurse just back from maternity leave. She was exposed to someone smoking illicit drugs, and the exposure was so severe that she needed emergency care, and she was advised to stop breastfeeding because of the risk to her baby. This demands more than empty words about being unacceptable. When will the Premier end this madness and fire the Health Minister?
Minister of Health.
Well, Honourable Speaker, what we do, what we've consistently done, is work with our healthcare workers, work with their organizations, work with the public to improve healthcare in British Columbia. With respect to nurses, that means working together to support better, safer security in our public hospitals by adopting their proposal that they made along with the HEU and along with the HSA to change the way we do security. It means working with our nurses to put in place nurse ratios with a significant investment. It means recruiting and supporting nurses in healthcare facilities. It means moving, Honourable Speaker, it means moving our healthcare workers who are in precarious work into more secure and safer work by repatriating healthcare contracts. It means supporting at every turn our healthcare workers, and we're going to continue to do that.
Leader of the third party.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. Despite this Health Minister's efforts to convince us that everything is okay with the healthcare system, the reality is far from a rosy picture he's trying to paint. Elders in our communities are being left behind by the failing health system. Seniors are falling into poverty, unable to afford hearing aids, dental work, eyeglasses, vital medications. And this lack of connection to care creates deeper isolation, loneliness, and depression among seniors. One of my constituents has been without a family doctor for 4 years. He's a cancer patient and struggles to get appointments at walk-in clinics. The budget for the Ministry of Health has nearly doubled since this health minister took on his role, yet the experience of people seeking care is getting worse. Under this minister's watch, access to health care has become a privilege, not a right. My question to you, Honourable Speaker, is to the Minister of Health. What does the minister say to the British Columbians who can't access health care under a ballooning, giant, massive budget?
Minister of Health.
Well, thank you, Honourable Speaker. And yes, I believe we should invest in our public health care system. You bet I do, Honourable Speaker. With respect to family doctors, the member will know, because at least previously, she was an advocate of moving away from the fee-for-service system, that we moved away from the fee-for-service system, working with family doctors, and between March 31st and December 31st of last year, added net new 708 family doctors, Honourable Speaker. We added, which is precisely what people are asking for. With respect to nurse practitioners in community, we talk about primary care. We've tripled the number of nurse practitioners in BC. Tripled, Honourable Speaker, the number of nurse practitioners. Last year, Honourable Speaker, adding 6,500 nurses. Registered psychiatric nurses, LPNs, in our healthcare system, Honourable Speaker. It's why we have the largest capital program for hospitals in our public healthcare system. It's why we repatriated healthcare workers and got rid of Bill 29, Honourable Speaker, that brought justice to healthcare workers across British Columbia. We have taken an action, and, Honourable Speaker, we led, I think, the world in responding to the public health emergency, which was COVID-19, by supporting and following the positions and supporting our healthcare professionals, our doctors, our nurses, our health sciences professionals, and we will continue to do so.
Member for Saanich North End Islands.
You know, Mr. Speaker, my constituency inbox paints a much different picture than the one that the health minister is painting here and has been painting in this question period for months and months and months on end. My constituency inbox is telling a story of a broken healthcare system, Mr. Speaker, that is costing British Columbians more and is in the outcomes are not being seen on the ground in our ridings. And I bet that every single member in this House, their email inbox in their constituency office is telling the exact same story. The amount of money that this minister has spent, from $21 billion when he became the minister in 2017 to $36 billion now, we should be seeing better outcomes, but we are not, Mr. Speaker. The seniors in my riding are being left behind. They're not able to access primary care. They're not able to get annual checkups. They're not able to get their prescriptions renewed. They're not able to inquire about developing concerns, Mr. Speaker. The emergency room at the Saanich Peninsula Hospital was temporarily shuttered overnight before it being indefinitely shuttered, Mr. Speaker. The question to the minister is, when is he going to open the emergency room in our ridings in Saanich Peninsula so that the constituents in my riding have access to health care when they need it?
Minister of Health.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Speaker, and the members of the House will know that our public health care system has responded, I think, in exceptional ways in very challenging times. To say that we haven't had a COVID-19 pandemic, to ask a question, while ignoring that, ignoring the fact that there have been, in the last 3 years, an additional 560,000 people who are registered with the MSP plan in BC, is ignoring the facts. And in the face of that, we have set records and are leading Canada in recruiting doctors, in recruiting nurses, in recruiting health sciences professionals, in recruiting healthcare workers, Honourable Speaker. We've expanded the scope of practice, for example, for pharmacists, Honourable Speaker. We've expanded the scope of practice for pharmacists, Honourable Speaker, that has brought care to hundreds of thousands of people. And, Honourable Speaker, we created new healthcare positions, expanding scopes of practice for associate physicians, people who are trained as doctors in other countries who weren't able to practice up to now, and in Saanich, for example, adding positions such as a new physician's assistant program, which we're engaging in the hospital. And so we are continuing, Honourable Speaker, in primary care, in seniors care, to invest in the things that British Columbia needs. And we're going to continue to act in every community to support our public health care system.
Leader of the Fourth Party.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And there's no question our health care system's in crisis. And unfortunately, the BC United Party, there's no question when the member from Kamloops stands up and says, of course we support decriminalization. Their position they made very clear in this legislature. But there's another thing I want to be talking about, Mr. Speaker.
Members. Member has the floor. Please continue.
Thank you. When elected in 2012, NDP MLA Gwen Mahoney told the Globe and Mail this, and I quote, I'm a regular person. I know what it is like for prices to go up because I live paycheck to paycheck, end quote. Mr. Speaker, under this NDP premier, workers and their families have been living paycheck to paycheck, have been deep baloney because they can't afford anything else. British Columbians want change. I'm very proud to have Gwen running with us as our party, as many other thousands of NDP MLAs are turning to the Conservative Party BC.
Question,
so my
member.
Question to this NDP premier is this. Do you agree that workers and the former NDP voters like Gwen are abandoning the NDP party because they can't afford life in British Columbia?
Members, as I said in my opening remarks before the question period, we have to be very careful when we ask these questions and not to bring in unnecessary comments that, you know, may not be useful in the question period. Government House Leader.
Thank you so much, Honourable Speaker. And first, I haven't talked to Gwen in over 10 years now. I certainly know that, like many coming out of the pandemic, seeing things on social media and falling into that trap of seeing, supporting Freedom Convoy, thinking about conspiracies, all of a sudden becoming super anti-trans and anti-homophobic. I think that it's challenging to see someone you know fall into that trap, into that cycle. What's clear is that she's now found a home with people who believe the same thing. See, that's what she sees in the leader of the Conservative Party, that same extreme view. And so I wish her well. Now, as far as it goes for affordability, Honourable Speaker, that is something we've been working on and committed to here in this legislature since we got elected. We talk about ICBC and the savings that people have in their pockets every day. We talk about all the new supports when it comes to supporting young families with childcare. And then, of course, the big topic is housing and the efforts that we're taking to address the challenge that most British Columbians are facing, which is the ability to find housing. Now, the member talks about affordability, but he's opposed to every single measure that we've taken to address affordability. So it's easy.
First of all, the chair was, I allowed the question, even though the question has no, it was not related to any minister's responsibility. But anyway, so the government house leader wishes to answer that. He's answering it. So let's hear it. And then I hope the next question will be related to one of the minister's responsibility portfolio. Please continue.
Thank you, Honourable Speaker. It appears I've hit a nerve. I'll end with this. We are always focused on British Columbians. We're always focused on the needs. But we will not step away from making sure that our kids are safe when they go to school, that you can love who you love, that you can be in British Columbia and see this as a safe haven for you and your family, Honourable Speaker. That's something we're committed to, something that we're going to work on every single day.
Leader of the Fourth Party Supplemental.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for that warning. Although I do agree on one thing, that there probably is nobody on that side that actually is concerned about affordability, because it doesn't seem to have anything to do with any of their ministries, quite frankly, certainly with the policies that they're bringing forward. This NDP government, they love to virtue signal. They love to talk every day about, you know, helping out families, workers, but the reality is the price of everything is higher in this province. Our streets are dirtier. There's less safe. People are less safe on our streets. Healthcare is in a crisis, and this government seems to be focused on pet projects, things like introducing a new drug injection site in Richmond. So the question once again to the Premier is this. There is one thing that the Premier can do to help today. Will you axe the carbon tax, spike the hike, so that everyday workers and families can afford gas and groceries, home heating, and everything else that is being taxed, taxed and taxed again by this Premier and this government?
Minister of Environment.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. Well, let's look at some facts that the Leader of the Conservative Party, and for that matter, the Leader of the BC United Party, don't want to acknowledge. The fact is that in 2016, when both of them were members of Executive Council, taxes for a family of four earning $100,000 a year were...
Members. The chair will be the judge.
Thank you.
Members,
thank you.
Please.
It's true. The
Let
leader
the
of the official
continue.
Opposition was in the House before 2016 and then returned, but was still a member of Executive Council of a government under which a family of four earning $100,000 a year paid $3,000 a year more in provincial taxes than they do today. On top of that, as the leader of the Conservative Party, who was in this House at that time, knows, and the leader of BC United knows, because he was a member of Executive Council, they cut taxes for the top 2%, not everyone else. They raised ICBC rates by 11%, while we cut them by $400 to $500 a year. We cut MSP premiums entirely, while they raised them by 10%. And if we'd stayed on their track, With BC Hydro, rates would be through the roof instead of stable, with rebates offered to every British Columbia beginning this month. We'll stand on our record because we care about affordability. We stand with British Columbians. We support working families. Your record is clear. You had the chance, and you didn't do it.
Member for Vancouver. Member for Vancouver-Langara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. 87-year-old Eric Roberts languished for 9 days in a hospital hallway, suffering from delirium and complications from infections. His dignity and health were compromised as he was parked by a garbage room for 4 days. Eric and countless others deserve more than the "I'm really disappointed" platitudes and excuses from this incompetent NDP premier. When is the premier going to act and fire this incompetent health minister?
Minister of Health.
Well, thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. And what we're doing in every area is taking action, Honourable Speaker. I'd ask the Honourable Member if he's in favour or against the action we've taken with doctors that has led to the recruiting of net new 708 family doctors, the action we're taking with the BC Nurses Union, with BC Nurses, to increase the number of nurses, improve nurse ratios in every community. Is he against the action we're taking with health sciences professionals to recruit and hire more health sciences professionals in every community? Is he against, Honourable Speaker, the HPCAP program, on the most successful health human resources programs in history? Is he against the surgical renewal commitment, which has set records virtually every week this year in the number of surgeries and seen a reduction, even during COVID-19, of the surgical wait list in British Columbia? Is he in favour of these things, or is he against them, Honourable Speaker? Because those are many of the substantive actions we're taking, actions that are making a real difference for people in a very challenging time in public health care.
Member for Delta South.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Lane French from South Delta suffered a stroke in the Massey Tunnel and was left paralyzed and alone. Despite urgent 911 calls, French was told to fend for himself. And I quote, "Nobody came. They left me abandoned on the side of a road to figure out my own way," end quote. Lane French and countless others deserve more than excuses, and I feel your pain from this incompetent minister. Mr. Speaker, when will the Premier finally act and fire this minister?
Minister of Health.
Thank you very much, Honourable Speaker. And we're concerned every time that someone has challenges in facing the healthcare system. I know that our healthcare professionals in particular, our ambulance paramedics and dispatchers, who address these issues every day, are so concerned. And that's why, Honourable Speaker, when I became Minister of Health, after 16 years of Liberal government, Honourable Speaker, the majority of ambulance paramedics were casual, the majority. We've increased the number of full-time ambulance paramedics, full-time, from 1,500 to 2,600, and the members know this, Honourable Speaker, in 6 years, Honourable Speaker, that for purple calls, Honourable Speaker, we've reduced wait times over that period, Honourable Speaker, which is the most serious calls, and including in the last year. Because we've invested, Honourable Speaker, in ambulance paramedics, in particular in rural and remote communities. We've added, Honourable Speaker, air ambulance services across BC. So when the member talks about ambulance services, unfortunately, he knows that we can't and we won't go into individual cases, although we express in every occasion our compassion for people. But on the ambulance service, which had been neglected for a decade, Honourable Speaker, where ambulance paramedics had been treated with contempt by the previous government, the only group of workers who didn't get the public service bonus under the previous government were ambulance paramedics. We've made changes to that, and we've done it working with our ambulance paramedics.
Member for Kelowna Mission.
7 years ago, when you called for an ambulance, they came. 7 years later, 7 years later, after you started.
Through the chair, member.
Lane French was still left alone in a tunnel. From Surrey Memorial's shutdown of CT scanners that we read about in the news, to Elkford or Prince Rupert's closed ERs, closures are costing lives. People like Lane French should not be left alone when they need help the most. Eric Roberts should not spend 9 days in a hospital hallway, delirious, confused, and humiliated. Each story tells us the same thing. Our healthcare system is imploding and in crisis. And the NDP, the Premier, and this minister offer nothing but simple platitudes, empty and hollow, and patting themselves on the back. British Columbians need more than just excuses and empty words and some, "I feel your pain." When will the minister actually do something and fire this health minister?
Minister of Health.
Well, there's something even I can't do as Minister of Health, Honourable Speaker, but I would say, Honourable Speaker, that the member talks about diagnostic care. BC trailed the country in diagnostic care. 174,000 MRI exams in 2016-17, Honourable Speaker. You know how many we did last year? 312,000. You know, the wait times we reduced? Yes, we did. Did we go from the bottom of the country to at or near the top? Yes, we did, Honourable Speaker. That's action, Honourable Speaker. The member talks about overnight closures of diagnostic equipment, Honourable Speaker. Only one MRI machine in the province was operating 24/7 when I became Minister of Health. Now it's 9, Honourable Speaker. Honourable Speaker. Only 4 were operating 19/7. Now it's 19, Honourable Speaker. Honourable Speaker, we are doing, the member talks about CT scans, we're doing about 280,000 more. 280,000 more. Honourable Speaker, when I became Minister of Health in the Northern Health Authority, Honourable Speaker, in the Northern Health Authority, they did 20 MRIs per 1,000 population,
members,
Honourable
members.
Speaker. Oh, they don't want to hear the facts, Honourable Speaker. They don't want to hear the facts. Honourable Speaker, when I became Minister of Health, 20
members,
MRIs per 1,000 people in the Northern
members
Health Authority.
Come to order.
The only place you could get an MRI done was Prince George, Honourable Speaker. We've changed that, Honourable Speaker. We're going to continue to act for people. We're going to act for people by recruiting more doctors, nurses, healthcare professionals, by improving and expanding our surgical renewal program, by expanding diagnostic care, by improving primary care, Honourable Speaker. We're going to continue to act, Honourable Speaker, on behalf of the people of British Columbia. We're focused on patients. They're focused on politics, Honourable Speaker.
The bell ends the question period. Remember